chatter this morning. Y'all pray for me. I feel like I'm wanting to go about four or five different directions. In the Word of God, I got a lot of examples that's just really just sticking out in my mind, and of things I've seen that in the half-hearted way that Israel often follows God. And then sometimes the way we do. If you take your Bible, I'll tell you what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Numbers right now, and then we're going to turn over and look at Judges. I think it's chapter 2. But Numbers. Turn over to Numbers, and we're going to look at chapter 14. And I'm going to kind of bring us up out of 13, because 13 is where God sends out the spies to spy out the land. They're getting ready to go, God wants to bring them into the land. God knows what they're going to do. I mean, you know, it ain't like this took God by surprise. Sometimes the way it reads, if we're not careful, just because of God's willingness to let us have a choice in the matter, He speaks to them almost as if, you know, He's surprised about what they do. But you ever feel that way? Sometimes you feel surprised about some of the things you do. You ever said, "Man, I can't believe I done that," or "Where did this come from?" You know, and stuff like that. But that's kind of the way. Sometimes it seems like the Lord's speaking. You know. It's almost like He's, "I can't believe you people. You know, I'm very surprised by what you're doing," but that ain't the case. He knew exactly. From the time before He ever created the world, God in His omniscience knew exactly how things was going to play out. I often think about that verse, and I hope you kind of realize that most of the time, when you're looking at who's speaking to them, it's Christ before He was, you know, became a man. He created the world. God created the world through the Lord Jesus Christ by His word, and He is the living Word. And so, and sometimes that, you know, it almost seems like, is this the same person? We see Jesus Christ, you know, being always so gentle and this, that, and that. But that ain't always, it wasn't always the case, was it? Sometimes I saw Him get very furious. When He was like, the times He went into the temple and drove out the money changers, and you saw the zeal of God and His righteousness and His holiness come up into Him, born fire, you know, that was in Him, you know. But everybody else, lady, you know, oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Yeah, He is sweet. He is sweet. Boy, sweeter than we can half begin to imagine. But I'm going to tell you something. He's not a fool, and He don't play like a fool. Right. He has no place for wickedness in His heart and His mind. And He's not going to, He's not. And when we get it in our heart and mind, He's going to deal with it. And so here we are. They came up, and God, you know, He selected the spies. He selected them. He handpicked them. God did. He told them who would go. Read that account, and you'll see that. And you think He didn't know what they were like? But there were two that He picked that He knew that He was going to bless later because they were going. And remember this. I don't care how many. It's not in the majority. It's always in the few. I was driving to church this morning. Does it ever amaze you the religiosity of people who actually will read the Bible on a daily. And I was driving past this church, and I ain't gonna say what kind it was, but they was talking about Lent and all this. I said, where do you come up with these words at? You know, I know I can look into history and find out, but I'm like, why in the world would you drag this up? It's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. Why do you insist on having this pomp and religiosity in your church and in your thinking? But it's everywhere. It's in us too. I can show you a few things around here. Around here, sitting in our church. You ever wonder why there's flyers on the altar? Why there's candles set up there? You ever wonder why that is? Preacher asked us a long time ago, why do we do what we do? You ever ask yourself that? There's some history in that. You can go back and look and you can find out where it came from. Everything that we do, I remember years ago, here somebody did something and shouted out, and a fellow said, there's a spirit behind every shout. Whether it's a godly sort or a fleshly sort or a devilish sort. In every action, everything we do, there's a reason for it. Something's driving it. And these guys, God picked him, handpicked these guys, and he had two that was going to go the way he wanted things to go. Then there was going to be 10 of them. I've often wondered, you know, why 10? Why two? I don't know. But anyway, why was there only two and why was there 10? Remember, here's something to think about. You remember later when God took the kingdom away from Solomon? He said he wouldn't do it while he was, you know, still living because of David's sake. And 10 became Israel, and 2 stayed there with Judah. They stayed at the temple. They continued to follow God for a little while, off and on, in and out. They had good kings, bad kings, good kings, bad kings. And the whole time, they still had the high places. Almost every time, except for a couple kings, utterly destroyed everything that was unbiblical, ungodly, that God had told them to get rid of. It was a couple kings, just a couple of them. The rest of them held on to all this stuff. But I'm kind of wondering if them numbers are significant, you know, in any way, looking at the future. Because 2 of them are going to possess the land, and 10 of them are going to die out in the wilderness. Now, he picked these men, he hand sent them in, and I'm going to begin reading in 25. It says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went, came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. In other words, he's, you know what they're doing? Man, they are frightening the people. They're coming in and telling them, boy, hey, we are no match for this world. This world is too much. We cannot overcome it. Man, the best thing we can do is retire and probably go back to Egypt, go back under bondage. That's what he's going to say in just a little bit. And here, from the moment they left Egypt, their heart was set on going back, going back, going back, going back, going back, going back. Now remember, whose people are these?
God's people.
God's people. How many times, you know, does people get saved and we see them go back? They got two natures. Always remember it, and you do too. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God does. I scare me to death sometimes. I read these examples, and boy, God said you better be watching. Watching. You need to have your mind watching all the time. Watching what's coming. Hey, what does the watchman do? He watches to see dangers that's coming, you know, against the city. And we're that city. Look at it like that. We're that city. We're a walled city. You can find that example over in the book of Nehemiah, how that walled city, that they had no protection. The walls were broken down, and they worked to build the walls. And sometimes it appears in our churches today there's a lot of walls that are getting broken down. Now, I'm going to look at some of those things in just a minute. I want you to have that thought in your mind about how oftentimes it was like in the church, there's a lot of walls that's been broke down. They're breaking down walls right here. They got a wall between them and the world. God Almighty is keeping them safe. He put a hedge about them, just like he did old Job. He's got a hedge about this people. Now, there's one thing, though. They got to believe God. If they believe those spies over God, it ain't going to go well.
It didn't go well.
And it says right here, and they got these, man, you got these, the people of Anak, and boy, and verse 31 said, but the men that went up with him, I'm sorry, Caleb stilled the people before Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, he was well able to overcome it. Joshua was well able to overcome it. Moses was well able to overcome it. Because they believed God. And if it hadn't been but three of them that went up there, God could have delivered the whole land into them, because you'll find out when we read, hey, that they didn't fall by the sword. A lot of them they fell upon their own swords. How many times have you seen the battle? God said, hey, you just come out there. Well, we know the story, you know, and we're going to cover it later, showing that when we are obedient to God, you know, it isn't the number. It's one in God's a majority. We see over in the book of Revelation when them two witnesses stood up, as long as God wanted them to witness, there was nothing that anybody could do to stop them. And they cried aloud. And the people wept and mourned because of all that they suffered because of these two witnesses. Now, see, Caleb was well able. Joshua was well able. But listen what comes out of their mouth. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. We started this study out 3 years ago where God counted the men that were able. At that time, they were able. They were able to go forth to war. they did. And they won some battles. But now here they are going backwards. Some of the same people, you know what I mean? It's the same crowd. It's the same ones that went out there and whipped them Amalekites. The same ones that when they held up Moses' hands, you know what I'm saying? And it defeated the enemies. But now we see them, we're not able. Did they forget? Had they forgotten? I think we need to be careful. We can forget some things. Here he said, it's always a good thing, I believe, to sit back and remember the victories that God has given us in the past. Think about what God has done and given to us. Think about some of the things that God has done in this church over the last years. I'm going to tell you something. There's a miracle. There's a bus sitting out front out there. Going out picking up youngs, because very seldom a church, once they give something up, do they ever get it back. It just don't happen. Usually when they give stuff up, they don't ever give it back. Anytime you give in to anything in this world, it don't want to give nothing back. You give in to the devil, he don't want to give nothing back. You let him have a little niche, and here they are. They've had victories. They've seen what God can do over and over and over again. But they say, we be not able, and they weren't, because they had no faith. They did not believe God. Why did they not believe God? I can't imagine. Why is it sometimes, though, that we don't believe God? If we believe what God says, we'll do exactly what He does say. I don't know about you. I can't say I do that. I find problems in my own life all the time.
Amen.
I'm constantly having to pray and ask God, what's wrong with me? Can't help me, strengthen me. And He shows me oftentimes what some of the problems are. But I'm not always willing. I'm just like a man sometimes that says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Who wanted his son to be healed. He said, I believe, God. But you know what else he said? I also got some unbelief. I believe you, Jesus, but I also got some unbelief. And that's wickedness. That's sin. I'm not saying anybody here's got any unbelief in their life. I'm only talking about me. Problems I find myself fighting with. And if you're able to rise above it, praise God for you. Come help me. Come meet with some ideas and suggestions to overcome some of these things I fight with, deal with daily. People at my work. Years and years I've spent praying for some of them. And what I see for the most part, I find them sliding down further and further. But I believe God. The prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Amen.
He said, I know I'm not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. But I have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's been given to me. It is a gift.
Amen.
Nothing that it comes out of me. It's all Him. He lives in me. And I know everything that Jesus prays, He gets answers, not yes and no. His answers are always yay. Everything that Jesus prays for is yay. That's the reason why we need to learn to pray from Him. But right here, we see some people, They're not believing. Even though they've seen in the past the things that God can do and all the things that God has done for them, they've also seen all the things that God would do to them too. I think that we got some kind of stupid notion in our churches today that God won't do anything to us. Because he loves us. You know where I'm coming from? But sometimes I think we do it. Sometimes I think we get a stupid idea that God won't deal with us, won't judge us when we don't do what he tells us to do. Now, hey, my Bible still tells me judgment starts at the house of God.
Amen.
And I don't know, sometimes that makes me a little bit nervous. But I do know this, too. God said if a parent doesn't whip his youngins, he don't love them. And if God loves us, and we're not being obedient like we ought to be, or we allowing junk in our hearts and in our minds and in our churches that are not according to this book right here, he will judge us if he loves us. If there be no chastisement, you're bastards, not sons. Now these are the people of God, and they are being willful and disobedient, and God is getting ready to judge them. He's getting ready to chasten them. It says right here, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know why they were grasshoppers in their sight? Huh? That's exactly right. They were acting like grasshoppers. That's exactly right. They didn't believe God. Then the people were already whipped. God had said it. They were whipped. They were good as, he was just going to use them to do it. But God, who's going to do the actual fighting? Who's going to do the actual fighting today?
God.
Amen. And we need to learn to take confidence in that and believe in that. But here they are, cowering down. We're just a bunch of grasshoppers. This world is just too much for us. It'll crush us. It'll destroy us. We got to run and hide. We're just going to hang out until the Lord comes and gets us out, because there's nothing we can do to make a difference. It's so bad. Yeah, and it's going to get worse. Like somebody told me a long time ago, he said, if you can't shine today in the darkness of this world, you ain't never going to shine. If you got any light coming out of you, it's going to be seen today because it is a bad time. It's sad sometimes you see people from other churches other than our church. Some of them don't even use the right Bible. And you know what's sad to me, though? Some of them are doing more for God than ones of us has got the right Word of God. Several years ago, everybody knows and remembers Columbine and everything. You ought to read the testimony of the Rose of Sharon just one time. I mean, the Rose of Columbine. You ought to read that if you ever get a chance. This young lady, something in her told her this was her last days. She didn't have far to go. You can see it in notes that she wrote and pictures she drew and all kinds of things.
And she had determined that this year she was going to, everything that she did in school was going to be to the glory of God. She was going to give God her everything. There was a man that showed up at her funeral. She had stopped. Now, how many women stop to help a guy change tires? She had got out because she had an umbrella and got up and helped him get his tire changed. When he saw her name read, he had to be there and got saved, trusted Jesus Christ right there at her gravesite. She said, I don't know what that girl had, but I that's what I need. It doesn't have anything to do with our numbers or what this world's doing. It was a bleak time for those people right during that time. They were mocked and she was mocked. They were made fun of. They were picked on. They were this. And then he had this crew of demonically inspired boys end up murdering several people. And they would ask them which ones were Christians. They were asking, are you a Christian? They were out to kill Christians. And she wouldn't deny the Lord. This one girl who had one time been in witchcraft, and she had helped bring her away from that towards faith in Christ. They asked her if she believed in God, did she trust in God? And she said, yes, I do. And he shot her in the leg. He said, do you steal? She said, I sure do. That's the kind of faith. It ain't mean that things are going to get better. It's the kind of thing, how does our lives, how does what we're doing bring glory to God? Does it show that our God is a God that can be trusted? As just like with these people. It said, and all the congregation, in chapter 14, lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And therefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children shall be a prey. Were it not better for us? Here it is. Want to go back to Egypt, to return into Egypt. And they said one to another, let us make us a captain. Let us. That's why they weren't able. They lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct our path. But they're not acknowledging God. They said, let us make us a captain. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. And give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they're bread for us. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. What did I say? One with God. Here's four men that stand against the entire congregation, and all the men's ready to take up stones and kill them and make them a captain and go back and look what happens. Boy, they were ready to stone them. said, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I wonder if God was to appear before us right now. Wonder what he would say to us. Would he say, you know, how long till you believe me? Or would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I often think about this thought when I look and see. I'm not naming this church, and I'm not naming no people. All I'm simply saying is, I look out there, I see a world that's falling apart, and I also see a church that seems to be totally impotent to make any difference today. Where are the Elijahs of God? Where are the great men? Where are the men that laid a hold of God back during the Enlightenment? The kind of men. They weren't even, a lot of them weren't even Baptists. Some of them were Congregationalists. You know what that is today? That's the United Church of Christ. Oh my gosh. You know? Look, and yet these men believed God. Modern doctrine wasn't even good, but they believed God and that God was able to make a difference. We all know, we've all heard the stories of the prayer meetings that started in New York City, that started that enlightenment, where people began to come together and pray over lunchtime. And it got to the point where it continued and went on all day long for weeks and months. And preachers started, you know, showing up that God had called them. It wasn't the preachers that made the difference. It was God that made the difference in the preachers. I've asked myself this question. I don't know if you ever have. And I've asked the preacher, do we really want revival? Do we really want revival in our land? Do we really want to see our church, not the nation, the church, set on fire one last time? I love every one of you, and I appreciate everything that every one of you does for the Lord. But I'll be honest with you. Do we look anything like those people did over in that great Welsh revival? I know most of you have read the accounts. Come on, continue night and day. Work wasn't the important thing. The important thing was God. God will supply. Let's just do what God wants us to do right now. Tomorrow, take care of itself. And revivals are just like baths. You know, you take one today, a few weeks later, you're going to need another one, you know. But we still ought to take a bath once in a while.
Amen. Whether we need it or not.
Yeah. Right.
Hey,
yes, sir.
The house I was born in, we were cleaning it out and everything. It was Thursday, wise people and some of their friends come to get some of the furniture and everything, and it was hot. I made a comment, I'm going to have to take a bath tonight. I'm going to part away to Saturday.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd have
Well, I think it's about time some of us said we need to take a Holy Ghost bath right now. We need it now. We need it. World's on fire. We ain't got a whole lot of time left. And if we're going to make a difference, it's going to have to be now. Can't be tomorrow. You know, go to now. The Word of God has said, these people said, we cannot do it. And God said, how long am I going to put up with people that won't believe me? And then you look at what happens after that. I mean, they got God in a killing mood. Those 10 men that brought up the evil report died that day. There's a plague that broke loose in them. He said, okay, you won't believe me. You say I'm not able, I'm going to show you what I can do. And he slew a bunch of them that day. And the people wept, oh, God. They've seen his power one more time. The God who wanted to bring them in, had to judge them, sent a plague in their midst to get their attention. What in the world is it going to take for the church today for God to get our attention? Do we need to start being arrested, beaten in the streets like they are in some countries? Is that what it's going to take? Have you prayed for a single individual this week that you know is under persecution? For a single country, is it on your heart where you feel burdened for what they're going through? And realize it may come here very shortly. Might be getting locked up like those preachers did up there in Canada when they passed that law, some of them hate crime laws. They might be coming down after some of us. We stand up and tell the truth about abortion, tell the truth about these alternative lifestyles, and tell the truth and try to warn people. It could very well come, and God, and if we are not willing to do it right now, God can bring it upon us. God wouldn't do that. How about Ananias and Sapphira? They lied against God. What did he do? They didn't obey him and go out into the world. And what did God do? He said he smote the flock. He sent persecution in there. A lot of them died during that persecution. Who did this? You think that we're more right than what they were? We need to be awake and aware that, and I'm not trying to throw out a message of gloom. I'm telling you, here we saw four men stand for God, and God appeared in his glory. It didn't take a crowd. It didn't take everybody. It could be you. Either one of us who would totally sell out. I'll do, God, whatever you say. I won't hold nothing back. No bad habits. No. The things I enjoyed, and I know that really it's not what you is the best for me or my family. I don't know, but it could be you. Could be one. It could be one in here to come in with God upon him who is sold out completely to God, and the Shekinah glory appear in our pulpit. Visibly, but audibly, that the Word of God might have great power.
Amen.
Causing people to really examine where they stand. These people didn't learn nothing. Here the power of God fell on them. They saw this great thing. And the very next day, you know what they did? We'll go over. No, he said, you're going to go into the wilderness, you're going to die out there, and you're going to be dung on the land. If they had any sense, they'd say, yes, Lord. We're going to be the best dung on the land we could possibly be from here on out. We're going to follow you the best way that we can do. And their trip would have been a whole lot better. But they didn't do that. They mumbled, crumbled, complained all the way through, down to the very last second. He told them, he said, that's what's going to happen. Yet they presumptuously, you know what that word presumption is? No, it's from the word presume. God, he's a good God. God, he's a sweet God. God, he's a loving. I know he loves me, and I do. I know he loves me, and I know he's sweet. But I better not presume anything of God, what he's going to do in my life or my family. What I better do is learn what God wants me to do and then do it. And when I don't, ask his forgiveness and his strength and help to do it.
Amen.
But they presumptuously went up. And Moses told them, what are you, again? You just saw what happened. You saw how the fire came down. You saw how the plagues came through and killed your brethren. And now you're going to disobey God again and go up the hill. He said, we'll go up. We'll go in. He said, don't go up. He said, God is not with you. They said, no, we'll obey God. We'll obey God. No, they wasn't obeying a God. They were doing the exact thing God told them not to. He told them to go back into the wilderness. They said, no, we'll go into the land. He said, go on up. Go on up then. And we know what happened. In their presumption, they went up and they fell by the sword. Hundreds of them. They come crying back to Moses. Oh, we have sinned. You said that right. You sinned when you didn't go, then you sinned by trying to go on your own. Everything you do, you're doing it on your own. You just will not learn to listen to God. And that's something we must do, is learn to listen to God. I'm not going to get to the rest of it. We're going to call it quits today. That was just in my head and in my heart. And I hope it didn't come across the wrong way. I'm not in no way trying to say that we are this or aren't that. All I know is I see what happened in those people's lives, and I see churches today there that we seem to be floundering around. Our numbers are dwindling. Churches are, falling off. And I just can't help some say, God, what's going on? I can't help but feel like sometimes a lot of it's my problem, my fault, that I'm the problem. So pray for me. Pray for me. There probably ain't every invitation given in that room that it don't hit me. I don't know about y'all, I'm not, but pray for me. But if this in any wise has spoken to your heart at all, if you can see a need to sell out 100% to God, you say, I've already done that. Well, praise God for you. Keep on. Don't go back. Well, Mel, will you pray for us this morning?
Oh, we just want to